Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This fall, the North Shore Music Theater plans to put on a production of the classic Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, Evita. Now, Evita is largely based on the life of Argentine First Lady Eva Perón. The fact that none of the principal actors in this production, though, are Argentine or Latin or Latino or Latina at all is upsetting to some in the theater world, and they're planning to protest the North Shore Music Theater. Joining us now is Lauren Viegas, founder of Project Am I Right. They say they want an end to the whitewashing, quote, whitewashing of roles written for people of color, people with disabilities, and transgender people. And they're leading the effort against the North Shore Music Theater. And Lauren joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Also with us is Bill Haney, owner of the North Shore Music Theater and producer of its new production of Evita. Bill, welcome to you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you both. Lauren, first of all, let me start with you. Can you tell us specifically what are your concerns with this new production of Evita? Yes, there are no principal actors who are Latinx, but tell us what your concerns are.
Well, generally, my concern isn't just with this production. This is just one small symptom of a larger illness. And the issue is that so often stories featuring people that are from underrepresented populations don't get to feature performers from those populations. And as a result, you know, actors doing their best, but not necessarily having a deep understanding of that population can end up unintentionally bringing stereotypes and shallow sort of depictions to the stage and to the screen as well. And it's a much larger problem than just one production. And the fact is that, you know, growing up in this country, you know, brown kids watch TV every day and see white faces and learn to empathize with white faces. And white children growing up in this country don't have an equal opportunity to learn to empathize with brown faces. And as a result, we end up in a society where we're vulnerable to demagogues coming in and saying things like these brown people are rapers and thieves and we should get rid of them. Mm-hmm. And so it's a much larger issue because if we had more practice as a society learning to empathize with people that don't look like us and that do not share all of our cultural experiences, then we learn to be accepting of them. It's a very scary thing.
Yeah, if I could just jump in here. I mean, I completely hear what you're saying. But this larger issue right now is coming to bear on the North Shore Music Theater. I mean, as I said earlier, there's a protest being planned there. I just want to be sure I'm understanding, sort of a subset of what you're saying here. Is it that you are also, in addition, concerned that, for a role like Eva Perón, a non-Latina actor can't bring the same, I don't know, knowledgeable authenticity or expertise or artistic expression to that role because of a lack of experience and cultural intuition, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, that is more or less what I'm saying. And I would beg the question, if you were producing a play about Rosa Parks, would you cast a non-black actress in the role and say, well, she's an actor, she can do the research and she can understand that culture? Or would you recognize that would be problematic to have someone who didn't understand that culture depict that character?
Since Bill Haney is here with us, he's the owner of the North Shore Music Theater, let me turn that question to you. So Bill, who did you end up casting, and answer Lauren's question. Do you think that she's capable of doing the same job as authentic a job on stage as a Latina actor could?
Well, absolutely. We always, when I cast my shows, unless it's specifically like Dreamgirls or shows of that type, we have to, as she just pointed out, Rosa Parks. That's a whole different story. To do a show like
How is that different?
Because Evita was played by Patti LuPone on Broadway, and I don't think she's...
There's a lot of things that we did in the 70s that we don't do anymore.
Well, and I'm not the only one in the country that's doing this, or actually the plan, I know there's a production being planned in Australia with a non-Latino cast. We have several, by the way, including...
Bridge, including...
Pardon me?
Well, if we could just let him let him finish, I will absolutely turn back to you, Lauren.
We have, number one, we're never allowed by labor laws and equity rules to ask somebody's religion, their background, their ethnicity.
Absolutely.
None of that is allowed. When I go to cast, again, a nonspecific dream girl show like that, I look for the best in talent. We, in this case, our casting directors in New York, they sent a special notice. We send a really wide range. You have to, if you're an actor, you know we're casting. And they specifically put, we're looking for Latinx people to come in. We'd love to put those folks in the show. I can't drag them out of their homes.
How many people did audition?
We see anywhere between 3,000 and 4,000 people in 5 days.
And out of all those people, there wasn't a phenomenal Latina actor?
We have a bunch of Latino actors in my show, including one principal. I'm not going to give names today because I just don't want to do this to our actors. But I know for a fact, because since this all came up, we had to do a little research as best we could guess. A lot of them came to us and said, by the way, we're reading this stuff. I'm Latino. I'm this. I'm that. And then our show actually won awards before I bought it. It won an award for a diverse casting theater. In my shows this year alone, I do what I'm calling colorblind casting. We had an African American, a Cogsworth in Beauty and the Beast. I had a little person as LeFou. We had the little kid that plays the teapot is Asian. I had an Asian Gaston. So we do. I pick the best talent, unless it's a specific piece that has to be something special. I pick the best talent.
You don't think Evita is specific?
She's not specific. I don't think I did enough.
Why do you not think she's specific?
Because I think that the whole point of this story is her rise to power and her climb up the ladder. And again, we'll go back to the 70s when the show was created.
To her country?
Well, so Lauren, on that point, let me ask you. I feel like that there is a great degree of, in Central and South America, in the Latin world in general, a remarkable multidimensional kind of diversity there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is.
I mean, we have the incredible racial diversity, cultural diversity. And so I feel like, isn't there the risk of sort of reducing that diversity down to really simplistic measures? And here's why I ask, because Eva Perón did have some European ancestry, and as do many people from Argentina and even
right.
around major parts of Latin America. But I just want to ask hang on for a second. I promise you, I'll let you talk. But I want to play a little bit of tape for you and then have you respond to this because our arts reporter, Maria Garcia, spoke with Diego Arciniegas. He's a senior lecturer at theater studies at Wellesley College about this question of ancestry of Eva Perón and how that should be represented on stage. And here's what he said.
The folks, specifically the central characters in Evita Perón, Juan Perón, and Che Guevara, were ethnically pretty European. And so while I understand the intention that actors of color should be considered, if this is a biographical musical, then it is completely appropriate in both senses of the word to cast them that way.
So, Lauren, what's your thought about that?
My thought is I agree that ethnically, yes, they have European heritage, as do most people of Latin descent in all of Latin America. But most people in Latin America are not just European. They have heritage coming from Africa and from the indigenous peoples. And the thing that unites them, regardless of their ethnicity, is their culture. So I pose the question, because I am not ethnically American, because my mother was not born here, does that mean I'm not American? Because that's kind of the argument I hear people making about European descendant Latin people, that just because they have European heritage, it negates the culture that they grew up with. There's a difference between ethnicity and culture. I'm currently doing a production of In the Heights in Minnesota, and we have a cast that is all Latin, that are every color under the sun, and they're is a lovely young actress who's playing Vanessa for us right now, who has naturally very fair skin and naturally red hair and green eyes, and most of her family lives in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got cast in this show, she assumed they were going to put her in a wig, because most of the time when she gets cast to play Latin characters, they say, oh, well, actually, you don't look Latin enough, which is absurd, because she is Latin. And so when they told her in this production that she was going to get to wear her own hair, she nearly cried. Because it's been so long that she's not been able to represent who she is looking the way she does. And there are plenty of Latin actors with a lot of European heritage that feel the same way that she does.
Mm. Bill, I mean, respond to that. You're putting this production on. What do you think?
Well, as I said earlier, when I went into the cast this show, I wasn't looking for any specific person. We invited Latinos to come in, but Eva Perón could be, as we said earlier, it could be almost anything. And again, I cast the best people to put our productions on.
But you hear what Lauren's saying about that she's making the argument that in order to she's making two arguments. One of them is that in order to produce the most authentic and compelling representation of Eva Perón on the stage, that person needs to have, in Lauren's words, a deep cultural connection to the country and the culture and the circumstances that Eva Perón represents and lives through.
Well, we kind of don't ask that in auditions as we're going through 3,000 people. We really have to narrow
Can
it down.
I address
to,
that?
To, well, just let him finish, then I'll turn right back to you.
We narrow it down to the what we consider the best people to do our show, and this show specifically didn't, you know, in my opinion, in our entire team's opinion, it didn't have to be, it would have been great if it was, but it didn't have to be Latinx. It didn't have to be. We have a bunch that we found out, as I said, after the fact, because what DeLauren just said, we don't know from somebody's name, because one gal that came to us said, I know my name is Jones, but I happen to be half this and half that, but my mother married this, you know? And I said, okay, and that makes my job a lot easier when I really don't have to check out people's names and what their background is and go through their whole history of their life. We just want them to do a great show, and that's what we actually, I think, believe cast in this show, including all types of different folks.
Mm. Lauren, go ahead.
Yeah. So first of all, the most important thing that I need to just mention, you said you don't think that it matters for the show. And again, I think it does. But secondly, I'd like to say that I absolutely acknowledge that he's not allowed to ask. It's a legal situation. An audition, even though it's a weird type of job interview, is in fact, legally speaking, a job interview. And so, yes, he's correct. It shouldn't be his job to need to investigate anyone's self-identification or how they, represent themselves. In fact, I do feel like casting directors and directors are sort of being asked to complete a task with their hands tied behind their back and wearing a blindfold. That's part of why my initiative, Project Am I Right, focuses on actor-to-actor conversations, mm-hmm. because I think that it's an unfair burden to put on a director. I think that an unfair burden has been put on you, Bill. I really do. I think that it has to be up to the actors to know who they are, to know how who they are reflects on stage, and to know how that affects their coworkers, and to act with compassion.
So, Lauren, there's something that's been sort of nagging at me here, and mm-hmm. let's see if I can sort of phrase this in the right way. Sometimes my thinking out loud isn't too clear, but give me a second here. What is the logical conclusion for what you're saying, which is, you know, that really we need to bring people with profound cultural, historical connections to these roles and cast them in these roles? Because is the logical conclusion then that a production like Hamilton would have never happened, because that's a bunch of revolutionary era white guys that was played by a spectacularly multicultural cast?
We can kiss the show cats goodbye in this whole theory also.
That comes out a lot. And I'd like to point out that there's a really big difference between what Bill was talking about, which is color blind casting and how he approaches things, and what's called color conscious casting. And I believe that's what Hamilton is. So the idea is that Hamilton cast purposely all actors of color to play characters that they're very well aware were not people of color, because it makes a point. They do it to make a statement. It's taking history and turning it on its head. And colorblind casting is, you know, like you said, it can also be productive because it can employ actors of color who don't get as many jobs. But it can also end up being problematic. For example, if we pretend that we don't see race at all, which I think is disingenuous and unrealistic, and we cast a show like Oklahoma, let's say, mm-hmm. and we cast a white man as Curly and a black man as Judd. If you don't know the story, Curly's the hero, Judd is the villain. And there's a scene where Curly tells Judd he should hang himself and reenacts that act. Now, if you have a white hero telling a black villain to hang himself and reenacting it, that can suddenly get very uncomfortable. And if we don't ignore the fact that that's happening, then we can end up saying, well, we thought we were doing the right thing because we wanted to give an actor a job because he was the best for the role. And it's like, I understand that intention, and I understand that it's great that he had that role, but you're also putting something very tricky up on a stage and pretending that it's not tricky.
Right. You know,
Not a proponent.
Mm-hmm.
I was just saying, I prefer color conscious casting to colorblind. That's all.
Okay. Yeah. And I didn't mean to jump in there, but I'm conscious of the time that we've had. This has been a really fascinating conversation, but I do want to give Bill a chance to just to have word here before I got to wrap up.
As I said, we went in with open eyes. A lot of people came in to see us. We chose who we thought were the best for the role. And I invite everybody to come see the show and judge for themselves. I think we did a pretty good job what we put together. And that's all I can do at this point, because we tried, and tried, and I think we succeeded.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I have to say I am very grateful to both of you for coming and having this conversation with us today, because, we continue to try as a country. I mean, Lauren, to what you were saying, and Bill, for what you were both saying earlier, we're in a time and a place where we all need to continue to try to move forward together. So
absolutely.
Lauren Villegas, founder of the project Am I Right? Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And Bill Haney, owner of the North Shore Music Theater and producer of its new production of Evita. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And listeners, let us know what you think about this. Send us your comments at radioboston.org. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.